I got good news for you. If you had a bad Monday, you're in the right place to see it all turn around. Right? If it's been bad, if it's been a rough Monday, then you are in the right place to see it turn into a good Monday. Amen? And we trust that you have come here expecting something from God tonight. Amen? What a wonderful time of worship that we've had tonight, and we praise God for that. Thank you so much for investing in our ministry so that we can continue to do what we do around the world for the glory of God. And what a wonderful day we had yesterday. But we want more tonight, amen? And I know that that's why you've come tonight, expecting something from God. And open up your heart, and I know that God will minister to you right where you're at. Before I speak, I want my wife to come and minister in song. Would you welcome Heather one more time as she comes to minister?
My temporary home.
Man, praise the Lord. I don't even need to preach after that, do I? Let's just say amen and go home. Amen? That had to be Jeremy, didn't it? Oh, you ain't going to get out of this. Stand up with me if you would, please. Acts chapter 7. I'm going to read a few scriptures at the end of Acts chapter 7, the first of Acts chapter 8. I want to start in verse 59. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Father, I thank you for this night, this Monday night, that here we are in the presence of God. And I pray for the next few moments, Lord, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would literally fill this room right now in such a special, sweet way. God, I pray for that one that maybe walks in here tonight that is weighed down by the burden of life, weighed down by the burden of their past, of guilt, of sin. Lord, somehow the enemy has convinced them that they are not lovable, they're not forgivable, they're not acceptable. But God, I'm so thankful for a God that cares about us and he loves us and he accepts us just as we are. Lord, your character is quick to forgive and quick to love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. How many would be honest tonight and say at some point in your life, you felt like maybe you didn't deserve the love and the forgiveness of God? I think all of us would have to raise our hand at that. Do you ever wonder why God put in his word, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God"? I believe it was to let every one of us know that we're all common in one respect, and that is that we are all sinful creatures. The Bible is very clear about that. Time and time again, it refers to us in our sinful nature. And it is only by grace, amen, that we are saved. It's not by works, the Bible says. It's not based upon what I can do or what I can't do. It's based upon him alone. And the tragedy, I think, today in the world is the way that the world promotes our God. The God that I know, the God that lives inside of me, is a loving, caring, and compassionate God. He's not this mean God sitting up in heaven ready to strike people down and condemn them. No, he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So I have to ask you the question tonight, if God doesn't condemn you, why do you think you can condemn yourself? You see, the reality of what Christ did for us on the cross is to show us his character. And his character is to love us, to accept us, and to forgive us. His character comes throughout the Word of God. And I want to talk to you about this story tonight that we're probably all familiar with. First of all, if you want to go someplace in 2011 with God, if you want to mature with God somehow, some way, you want to go to a level, go to the level of Stephen. Stephen was an incredible, incredible man of God that he died as the first Christian martyr of the early church. And an incredible man that was not willing to compromise what he was going to say. He spoke the truth. He wasn't ashamed of the truth. And the Bible says in the scriptures right before I read, it says he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. How many knows that it's not a day and age in America that we need to regress and come away from being Pentecostal? We need to be more Pentecostal than we've ever been before. We need to recognize and understand it is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the gifts of the Spirit that are going to enable us to stand in these last days. And I don't know if you've ever thought about what motivates and what moves God, but let me tell you, he looks at Muammar Gaddafi right now and his heart breaks because maybe he will face eternity without receiving Jesus Christ into his heart. He looks at Saddam Hussein and he is just as much as someone that Jesus Christ died for as he died for me. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I just read about a Christian martyr. And who was there giving his approval? Saul. Who was throwing Christians into jail? Who was persecuting the church? Saul. In chapter 9, it talks about the murderous threats. In verse 1, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Jesus' closest friends, and Saul was threatening to kill them. How many knows that our character would be to say, get rid of that guy, shut him up, put him 6 feet under, get him out of the picture. Right? People do us wrong, we want to get him out of the way. We want to tear them down. We want to condemn them. We want to judge them. But what is the heart of God tonight as he looks at you and as he looks at me? You know what God's motivation is? He does not look at who we are, but he looks at who we can be in him. You see, if God was motivated out of condemnation and judging, then he would have gotten rid of Saul. But you see, God wasn't focused on Saul. He wasn't focused on the guy that was condemning his church and was at the in the crowd when Stephen was killed. That's not what he focused on. And I got good news for you tonight that God doesn't focus on our past. He doesn't focus on our sin. He doesn't focus on our failures. You see, it's easy. See, I'm my worst critic. My wife and I were just talking the other day that we can do all the good in the world, but what do we remember the most about ourselves? We remember the bad, right? Come on, it's revival. You can talk to me. You can say amen, right? We're our worst critics. We do that. We can do all the good in the world, but what do we focus on? We focus on the few bad things that we've done. But I'm trying to tell you tonight that the God that I live for, the God that I serve, the God that lives inside of me, is not this mean, judgmental, condemning God. No, he is a God that even looks at the Sauls of life and he says, you know what? I see the Paul in you. I see the potential in you. I see the guy that even though he may be the number one person for the enemy right now, what if I got a hold of his life? I could turn him into the number one guy for the kingdom of God rather than the number one guy for the enemy. He saw that potential. God saw the potential of the guy that would write more books of the Bible than anybody else, and yet at one time he was the chief enemy against the church. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. Amen? Because God's looking, he's looking at the potential of your life when Jesus gets a hold of your heart and forgives you and loves you and accepts you. You know what we need to do? We need to let the world know that this kind of God that we're serving, our God, the one true God, the only God, he is a compassionate God. He is not out to steal and kill and destroy like the enemy is. And that should bear fruit in our lives. Look at Peter and look at Judas. There are two different kinds of disciples in life. Two. There's only two. You know what was common about them? They both failed and betrayed Christ. That's the commonality of all of us. We fail God and we betray God. The two things in common in Peter and Judas was they both betrayed God. The difference of people trying to serve God, the difference between Peter and Judas is Peter allowed himself to be restored and reconciled and to be forgiven, and Judas did not. Did you know that there was forgiveness available for Judas and he was not condemned to kill himself? God only prophesied and foretold of his betrayal, but he never condemned him to death, because if he would have, none of this would be worth anything. Because God is not a respecter of persons, and I don't care who you are and how you walk in here tonight and what you've done in your past. Let me tell you, the loving, compassionate, caring God that I serve loves you, and he doesn't focus on your past. He focuses on your future if you'll turn your life to Jesus Christ. See, the reality is, so many times for so many years as a child, I would look at the story of Judas and I would say, God, that's just not fair. Because somebody had to betray Christ in order for him to go to the cross to die for my sin. So why did Judas have to die? And Jesus told me and he revealed to me, he's like, I never condemned him to death. I never prophesied of his death. I prophesied of his betrayal. And just like he's prophesied about your betrayal and my failures and your sins and my sins, is because he says, you know, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There will be times that we let God down. It's what's so important is that we never allow the foothold of guilt and condemnation to work its way into our lives. Guilt and condemnation kills, but what does the scripture say that God uses? He doesn't use condemnation, because condemnation points out how bad of a person you are. Condemnation keeps a record of wrongs. Condemnation tells you how far away you are from God. But you know what conviction does? That's what God uses. He doesn't use condemnation. He uses conviction. Conviction is different. Conviction points out how big of a God that we serve rather than how bad of a person we are. Conviction draws us to God instead of pushes us away from God. The Holy Spirit draws us. You see, the very characteristic of Christ is to see the potential in your life and not to see the failures of your life. The very character of God is displayed in our lives. Now, I'm getting ready to be very vulnerable in front of all the men in this room. I would like to tell you that I am the man that can pick up any piece of machinery, any, you know, motorized thing, and be the master of it. But last fall, I was using a hedger. You know, that long thing with the teeth, like a lot of different teeth, you know, and you're cutting your hedger and, you know, you are just going to town and you're shaping your hedges all nice. Well, somehow, some way, one of my fingers got in between those sharp blades, and it cut down into the bone, right through my flesh, right into my bone, and I come in bleeding everywhere, and Taylor and my wife are there, and they're like, you know, I'm just tracking blood through the house, and immediately Heather says, we got to go to the ER. And so I wrap it all up and we go off to the ER to get it stitched up. And it was truly amazing what took place, because yes, they stitched it up, but the very character of God came out in that wound. You see, I did something stupid. I did not do proper safety, obviously. Not supposed to cut your fingers off when you're using your hedger. And the thing about a hedger is when we started looking at him, it was deep, it was down all the way into the bone.
You can see part of the hedge and bits of leaves and, you know, all that kind of good stuff, you know, that's not belonging in there. And can I tell you, within a matter of just a few days, what began to take place is the new skin began to grow and to cover up that wound. Wasn't something I did. It was the very character of the body that God created, that even though you can have the most messed up, cut, sore, everything, I mean, you can do the most horrible thing to your body, it doesn't take very long until that new growth begins to take place. And now you can't even hardly tell that I mean, it's very hard to find the scar. You know what? That's the love of God. That He desires in our lives to bring that new growth and that new potential. You see, if I want you to think about all the injuries that you've had in your lifetime, all the times you burned yourself cooking, all the times that you nicked yourself shaving. Come on, guys, man, all the time, man. I'm like, God, my wife's like, remind me, take off the toilet paper off my face because it's all over the place, you know, come covering up the blood and everything. And I mean, can you imagine all the times that we cut ourselves and we've injured ourselves and we've fallen off our bikes and we did all these things? Can you imagine what your body would look like if it didn't have the new flesh grow back in? Can you imagine if all we saw was the sores? That's disgusting, isn't it? That's gross. That's about as disgusting as one of our friends. She had surgery last week. She's a nurse. So I should have known better than to open her text today, because her incision ripped open. And she decided to tell me she's going back in for surgery tomorrow, and she had to send us a picture of the open incision today. It was right after lunch. I was like, you're a nurse. It's not affecting to you. It doesn't affect you, you know, normal people like us. And, you know, it was just kind of a confirmation of what God wanted to speak tonight. If all we did was walk around with all these open wounds and sores, that God didn't have the ability to bring that fresh, new skin to cover up the pain and the hurt and the things inside of our lives, it would be very disgusting. But let me tell you, that's what our God does. He loves you so much. He cares about you so much. And He sees the incredible potential of your life. He sees the Paul inside of you and not the Saul. Aren't you glad that God can take a guy that it would have been so easy just to speak the word and Saul would have been killed just like that? I mean, we're not talking about a nice guy. We're not talking about a guy that cared. We're talking about a guy that had a huge issue with God. And God says, you know what my character is? Is I see the potential of when I get a hold of that life. You know what God revealed to me recently? Because there are times in my life that I deal with things that I've done wrong, and I've failed God, and I've hurt God, and I've sinned. And God was just trying to mature me in this area not too long ago. And He says, I want to tell you this, and I really want everybody to grab this as the truth that you're going to walk out of here tonight with, that what motivates God is His character, not yours. He's not motivated, whether He does or doesn't do something for you, based upon your character. Whew. That's just like when you had an asthma attack and you took your inhaler and now you can breathe. It's just like a whole new perspective when you can understand, praise God, that He is not motivated. Every day that I wake up, when He looks at me, He's not motivated out of my character and how horrible it is. But man, He is motivated out of His character. And you know what His character is? His character is perfect. His character is quick to love. His character is quick to forgive. His character is not to judge, not to condemn, not to keep record of wrongs. His character is to love you and care about you and to embrace you and to see the potential of your life. Wow, the hope and the opportunity that you and I have because of that. Can you imagine that if Paul, that used to be Saul, can you imagine if he would have walked around his life once God got a hold of him on that road that day? Can you imagine if he walked around from that point on always struggling with his past and, well, I don't deserve to be anybody. You can't use me. God, do you know what I did? I was number one chief enemy against the church. I put people in prison. I killed people. I was there when Stephen was being stoned. You will never reach your potential with God, no matter how long you serve Him, if you're consistently looking in your past. If you're consistently looking at the things that you have done wrong, but what you've got to do is you've got to wake up every day and realize and recognize that just like God saw the potential in Saul, He sees the potential in you and He loves you and He cares about you and He's reaching out to you. Just like no matter if I cut my finger off, it's going to grow back with fresh skin. It's going to be there. There's a natural healing process. That is the characteristic of God. And so when we are reaching our world with the love of Jesus Christ, may we be the characteristic of Christ. May we have the same character of God. Because you know what? In this world, there will always be people that do us wrong, you know. I'm reminded of the time that the youth pastor, when I was a young man, did some things, and it came out that he had turned to a life of homosexuality and child pedophilia, and he was basically asked to leave. I didn't know where he went. For 9 years, I had no connection with him. And I started ministry, and I got out of Bible college, and God had dealt with me a long time ago about forgiveness. And he saw a poster promoting where I was going to speak. And he got the information from that church where I was going to speak. And he called me up after all these years, after someone that had done some very painful things and let me down in my life. And he called me up to apologize. If you're waiting on somebody to apologize, to forgive, then you don't understand the character of God. Because forgiveness is not based upon anybody else. It's based upon you. Let me tell you something about forgiveness. The hardest person to forgive is yourself. I had my best friend that was an evangelist speaking all over the world that did some very, very horrible things, and he turned to an alternative lifestyle of having multiple affairs on his wife. And that just happened a couple of years ago. I was devastated. But through this, I had to walk through this situation with him, either as a selfish and self-centered person, as a friend that was deeply hurt, or I had to walk through it with the loving compassion of God, because it's easy to expect everybody to forgive us, but when it comes to somebody hurting us, can we give the same forgiveness that we expect for ourselves? There is no doubt Saul was tempted over and over and over. to just look at his past. But you know what? I believe he realized the character of God. And that is that God, in his loving kindness and compassion, wakes up every day. You wake up every day with a God that never sleeps or slumbers, and he never takes time off, loving you and caring about you and reaching out to you. The best thing that you can do today is you can start displaying the characteristic of God, and that is to be quick to love and quick to forgive and slow to anger and slow to condemnation and slow to judge. That's the characteristic of God. I want to leave you with this one thing tonight. You're getting ready to act out the Last Supper. Just a few weeks, you're going to act that out, that final moment that Jesus had with the disciples, and that very painful time for them to realize that they could fail God and they could betray God. Jesus went through a very, very painful thing to realize that his best friends and his disciples that he had invested in, that the time that he needed them to most, the time that he needed them to stand the most, was the time that they failed him the most. But the heart of God, when he went to the cross and then he was resurrected, what was the character of God? Jesus found Peter, didn't he? Remember that moment that he had with Peter? What did he do with Peter? Did he walk up and say, "Peter, you sorry, sorry disciple. You bad, bad, bad person. I cannot believe you. I invested in your life. I allowed you to walk on water, and this is how you replay your kindness to me. You deny me. You deny you even knew me." Sometimes it's what Jesus did not do that means the most. He did not walk up to remind him of the things that he had done. No, what did he do? He says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Oh Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep." Again, "Peter, do you love me?" "Oh Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep." One more time. "Oh Peter, do you love me? Oh Lord, I do love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I don't know what I was doing, but that's not who I am. I love you. I'm committed to you. And I'm willing to pay the ultimate price with my life for the kingdom of God." And we know that he did. God is not here to judge you and to condemn you and to tear you down. He is simply here to restore you to his love. And oh, can't you just see him saying, "I've got to find Judas. I've got to find Judas. I've got to let him know it's okay. I've got to let him know I went to the cross and I paid the price for his sin this weekend. I've got to let him know." And can you imagine that moment that Jesus had when somebody told him Judas went out and hanged himself? He killed himself. He committed suicide. Can you imagine that moment that Jesus says, "No, I paid the price for Judas this weekend. He didn't have to kill himself because I paid with my life. I was the only one that was supposed to hang on a tree this weekend, not him." God does not require of you to pay your price for your sin. He already did. And he's looking for your potential. And he's looking for what you can do. And he's looking for the future. He's not looking at your past. He will never walk up to you and say, "You sorry individual. I counted on you. I counted on you. And look what you did." No, he'll walk up to you and he'll let you know, "I love you and you love me. Now let's get out there and do it." Guess who God chose to be the keynote speaker on the day of Pentecost about 50 days later? Who? Peter. The guy that blew it. Doesn't that give you hope? Because let me tell you, I cannot stand up here in this pulpit if it was based upon my character that I stand up here today not representing someone. Not representing someone that is so fallible, that is so without any ability to get to heaven on my own. But I represent my Lord and my Savior that He loves and He cares and He forgives. I want everybody to stand with me if you would please tonight. God, we thank You. We praise You. We love You. Lord, You paid the price so we don't have to. You see the potential of our lives. You love us. You care about us. Oh God, I pray tonight, Lord, that You would consume us with Your love. God, that person maybe is struggling walking in here tonight. And Lord, the tendency would be to be hard on ourselves and to not forgive ourselves. But God, if You forgive us, then what right do we have to not forgive ourselves? Lord, if You see the Paul in us and You choose not to focus on the Saul in us, God, who are we to tell You different? God, I thank You and I praise You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. Lord, Your character. Lord, it is Your character that You're motivated out of. It's not my character. It's not anybody else's character in this room because, Lord, our sins are as filthy rags. But God, it is You, the perfect one, the one without sin, the one without a blemish. God, that blood that we sang about earlier tonight, blood that will never lose its power. God, that stretches over a multitude of sins and failures and shortcomings and betrayals. Oh God, may we understand and know Your love and Your compassion. I want to ask tonight, with your heads bowed, I want to ask tonight, who may be standing here and you would say, "Ron, I walked in here tonight and the reality is Satan is trying his best to use my character, my past, my failures. I don't want to end up like Judas. I don't want to end up like someone that doesn't reach their potential in life. But I want to reach the potential of God in my life. I want to see what God can do with my life. I don't want to focus on the past. I don't want to forgive everybody else, but not be able to forgive myself." And I want to experience what Saul experienced. I want to experience what Peter experienced. I want to experience that loving, compassionate character. And you say, "Ron, pray for me tonight because I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with something in my life, maybe a long time ago, maybe something recent. It doesn't matter, but tonight you say, I need that. I need that restoration with God tonight. I need that love embrace. I need that. I need His His love reaching out to me. If that's you, just raise your hand up and say, yes, that's me. Come on, we're going to pray for you tonight. We're going to believe that God is going to minister to you. Hands are going up. Come on. This is not going to be a wasted night. This is not going to be a night that we're going to walk out of here the same. This is going to be a night that God changes us, that God restores us, that God fills us with His presence because He is reaching out to us. He's not a judgmental condemnation God. He is a loving, quick to forgive God. Hallelujah. You know what I feel led of the Lord to do is the altar tonight. There are many hands in here but that went up. But the reality is that we all will fail God. We will all betray God at some time. And we never know when the enemy is going to use guilt to try to drive a wedge between us and God. And so you know what? This is revival. This is a time for all of us to be in the altar. Can I invite the church right now, every one of you that can, to come down to this altar and let's spend some time allowing God to restore, to God to renew in our lives. I want everybody that will right now to come and fill this altar and let's find a place to pray. Let's find a place to get before God. Maybe God needs to convict us of some areas in our lives that are beginning to slip. Maybe there are some areas in our lives that God wants to bring strength to. Maybe there's addictions in our lives. Maybe there's things that are wrong. Maybe there's something in our past that the enemy's trying to condemn us. Maybe there's something that we can't forgive ourselves. But it doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what you went through. It doesn't matter what you've done tonight. There is a loving, caring, compassionate God that reaches out to you. Let's just find a place to kneel down in God's presence. If you're physically able, sit down on the front pew if you want to. Just let's spend some time in God's presence.